The text this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Here's the word of God. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's pray. Father, help us to realize how helpless we are apart from the power of Christ. Please help us to realize that we are utterly weak apart from the almighty grace of Christ. So this time we want to boast in your Son and his grace and his compassionate heart toward us. So please help us to behold his glory through your holy word. Please be with us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. The author here, the Apostle Paul, was one of the most influential Christians in church history. As you remember, he was zealous about spreading the gospel to many people. Also, he planted many churches. Also, he discipled many people. He raised up the church leaders among believers, and he taught the Bible to many believers as well. Also, as we know, he wrote many books in the Bible. He was truly a godly man. He loved God and he loved God's people. He literally lived for God's glory. And he was a humble man, but he was a courageous man as well. But here in our text, we find that the same Paul, this godly man, is boasting about himself. So verse 1, I must go on boasting. In the previous chapter, so chapter 11, Paul boasted about himself, and now he wants to continue to boast about himself in this chapter as well. But the truth of the matter is that this author, Paul, had many things, humanly speaking, to brag about or boast about. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, and he was a scholar in those days, and he was a moral, impeccable moral man. He was a decent man, and he was very smart, and he was born in a great family. Also, as you know, he had a great education. Nevertheless, as we read chapter 12 or even chapter 11, the previous chapter, we can find that what Paul is boasting about is not to do with his worldly pomp or his fleshly achievement. Rather, he boasts about his weaknesses. So 2 Corinthians 11:30, verse 30 in the previous chapter, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." So he boasts about something concerning himself, something concerning his weakness. The question is, why does he do that? What good can he achieve from boasting about, revealing, manifesting his weakness to others? The answer is that Paul is boasting about his weakness so that he can teach the recipients of his letter that they themselves must boast in Christ, as Paul does, as he boasts in his weakness. In other words, Paul is boasting in Christ by boasting about his weaknesses. So he wants to know, he wants to let the recipients of the letter know and realize that they must also have to do the same thing. They must boast only in Christ. There was some problem in the church in Corinth. There were some false teachers delivering a false gospel to them. And the false teachers appealed to their worldly vanity, worldly pomp. And the believers in Corinth were led astray by their worldly things. So Paul had to stop these false teachers from delivering false gospel. He had to protect God's people from these evil teachers. The false teachers pursued their own glory, but Paul pursued God's glory. So Paul wanted to teach the church in Corinth that they should pursue God's glory. And the way Paul did so was by boasting in his affliction, in his suffering. If we read the previous chapter, chapter 11, we can find many sufferings, like list of sufferings that Paul went through. But in our chapter, chapter 12, now Paul narrows them down to only one affliction, only one problem, which is expressed as a thorn in the flesh. But Paul wants to say that I am even boasting in this thorn of the flesh. I am boasting in the thorn because I boast in Christ. Firstly, Paul wants to make sure that this physical ailment, the thorn, is given by God. So it is a thorn given by God. Interestingly, Paul begins by introducing us his own heavenly experience. He wants to first lay out his glorious experience before he moves on to his thorns. So let me read verses 1 through 4. "I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord." He just said, "I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord." And then he said, "I know a man." What I want to say is that the man here, the third person, is actually Paul himself. He said, I will share with you my own experience of visions and revelations of the Lord. And he said, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Also in verse 7, Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. So it is evident that it was Paul who was caught up into the heaven 14 years ago. But here, it's not important for us to know that, like, what. It's not very important for us to know what Paul saw or heard in the heavenly realm. Even Paul doesn't share with us. But the important thing is that it was God who granted Paul that heavenly, glorious experience. So only in that sense, Paul could boast about it that God graciously showed him a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. So verses 5 and 6, Paul says, on behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Again, the tone of his voice is that it should not be focused upon him himself who experienced this, but upon God's grace that gave him this experience. Now, Paul makes the connection between this heavenly experience, his heavenly, glorious experience, and now, and his thorn in the flesh. So as I already read, verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Here we do not know exactly what the thorn was like. Obviously, it was not a small matter. It was a major physical problem. Maybe it was some kind of skin disease that Job had. Maybe Paul has some incurable eye disease. Or maybe Paul had seizure. Though we do not know exactly what it was, we know that it was very, very painful and easily noticeable to others. And it was an obstacle to his pastoral ministry, according to his own estimation. So let me quote Galatians 4:14. Paul says, though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. So whatever it was, Paul confesses that God gave this physical pain to him to protect him from being conceited. Paul also understands that Satan has been taking advantage of his thorn to harass him. Possibly the devil, the Satan, urged many people to dislike Paul, to avoid Paul because of the thorn. Possibly many people did not pay attention to Paul's message because of this thorn. But Paul does not want to hide the fact that he has the thorn. It's because the thorn came from his God. Like his amazing, glorious experience was from God. So Paul doesn't want to hide, doesn't want to cover his own weakness. My weakness also comes from my God. Therefore, I have to boast about it. I'm not sure how easy it was, maybe at least from the beginning, for Paul to understand this. I mean, why did God have to do that in this way? In other words, God could have done or could have humbled Paul in other ways, actually. Likewise, if I may assume now, many of you here have your own thorn. Whatever your specific thorn is, don't you want to know why you have that thorn? Haven't you wondered, why did God choose to give me that thorn? Haven't you wondered many times, only if God removes this thorn, my life will become much easier, smoother, more successful? Whatever it is, it might be your physical ailment, your physical infirmity, or maybe it is your mental disease, or maybe it was your scar that you got when you were betrayed harshly some years ago. So you want to know, why did God allow this thorn to take place in me, with me? So we need to learn today from Paul how to deal with our own thorns. We can find how Paul grasped the meaning, the implication, the teaching of his own thorn. Now we are in the second point of the sermon. I want to point out in this section two things. First, Paul's supplication to God. Second, God's sovereignty over the thorn. Firstly, Paul's supplication, Paul's prayer to God. Verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul prayed to God three times. But as you know, God normally doesn't reply, answer our prayer right after we finish our certain prayer in the name of Christ. God wants us to persevere in our prayer. In other words, he doesn't want us to talk with him about a certain prayer request quickly, only one time, and just move on believing that God will answer that instant prayer. So I think Paul prayed passionately, perseveringly for God to remove his own thorn. I believe he prayed for a period of time that God would remove the thorn from him. But God answered him, no. And sometime later, Paul wanted to pray again, so he prayed to God for a period of time. But again, he heard God saying to him, no. And sometime later, one more time, Paul thought, maybe I should pray again. Maybe God this time will answer my prayer. But again, Paul heard God saying, no. We have to realize that whatever it was, his thorn was very painful. Even the Apostle Paul could not move on easily. Does that show us that Paul was stubborn before God? I don't think so, because he was a godly man. He was obedient to God with all his heart. So here, what I want to point out is that we should persevere in our prayer. I'm not making a universal law or principle at this moment that if you pray perseveringly, unceasingly, then God will answer your prayer eventually on your turn. That's not my point. But I want you to wrestle with God perseveringly over your own thorn, as Jacob did. Do you remember? Jacob wrestled with God. And also as Paul did. Even though the thorn came from God, your own thorn came from God. Just don't dismiss it quickly. Don't just move on quickly. God wants you to pray about it. God wants you to come to His presence that you can commune with God. Though God may answer you no again and again and again, but I want you to know that you will grow in His knowledge experientially. In Paul's case, he learned deeply in his heart that God is sovereign through his persevering prayer. By the way, it is number 2, God's sovereignty over the thorn. So 2 Corinthians 8:9, let me read again. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. But the question is, was Paul ignorant of the doctrine of God's sovereignty before he was given this thorn? Was Paul ignorant? Did he not know about God's sovereignty over his life? Paul was the apostle who taught God's sovereignty a lot. And why did he have to pray 3 times? Why couldn't he just move on? Definitely Paul knew the doctrine of God's sovereignty. He was an apostle and he was a Bible scholar. Then we should know that Paul learned through the course of his prayer that he grasped and obeyed God's sovereignty more personally, more experientially. In other words, through his persevering prayer, he learned what it means to grasp and accept and obey God's sovereignty more deeply, more personally. The truth of God's sovereignty was sunk deeply more and more. As you know, it is one thing that you can just glibly saying that you acknowledge God's sovereignty over your life. It is very easy to say like that. But it is totally another thing to be submissive to His lordship over every single bit of your life with a willing, with a peaceful, with an obedient and obedient heart. Let's remember that God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So God wanted to teach Paul that it was my decision, that my power would be manifested in your weakness. Regardless of your weakness, regardless of your pain due to the thorn, my grace overflows. So your thorn, your weakness cannot limit my power. Regardless of your thorn, you are strong because my power is at work with you. Furthermore, here we should not misread as if God's power is conditioned upon Paul's weakness. We should understand that way. God's power is always powerful regardless of Paul's situation. So God was not conditioned upon Paul's weakness, even Paul's strength. It is all about His sovereign power that reigned everything over his whole life. That's why God said to Paul, haven't you realized that what you need is my grace? And my grace always overflows, whether you're strong, whether you're weak, doesn't matter. My power is invincible. And I am always gracious to you. You might not think that I'm not gracious. You might not think I'm gracious to you because of the thorn. But in reality, I am. I am gracious to you, even though you have the thorn. At this moment, let me quote John Calvin, his comment on my power is made perfect. He said, the word perfected has a reference to the perception and apprehension of mankind, because it is not perfected unless it openly shines forth so as to receive its due praise, for mankind have no taste of it unless they are first convinced of the need of it, and they quickly lose sight of its value if they are not constantly exercised with a feeling of their own weakness. In other words, by God's grace, Paul could experience God's power through his weakness. That's what Paul learned. Through my thorn, through my weakness, I was able to bear witness about God's power. I was able to experience God's grace. So by God's grace, Paul could realize that God is not dependent upon man's wisdom or capability to carry out his own purposes and plan. So therefore, dear brothers and sisters, let's remember that it's not your excellent talent or your excellent great skills that make you fulfilled or satisfied. I want you to remember that it's not your earthly blessings, your earthly circumstances that define who you are ultimately. What matters the most is if you know his power, if you have experienced the overflowing of God's grace, regardless of your situation, regardless of your scars, your wounds, your pains. I know you must have shed tears a lot in your life. And you probably, if you were like me, you probably complained to God a lot. You probably could not understand why our gracious God grants me this suffering, this thorn. But dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know that it was because God wanted to manifest his gracious heart to you through your thorn. Through your thorn, you were made to realize how gracious our God is. Through your thorn, God opened the door that you can enter into the realm of grace, the power that you can experience, that you can praise. Haven't you? Haven't you realized when you were suffering so much, you teared and teared, and you prayed to God. And one day, with the merciful word of God, you were comforted. And you experienced the amazing power of God that surpassed everything. That you realized that I love him so much. By the way, he loved me as well. That's why he allowed me to go through this thorn. Have you? Haven't you experienced this suffering? Through your suffering, God wants you to say, Lord, I love you. And I know that you love me so much. That's why you have granted me this affliction. I love you, Lord. That's what the power of God does through our suffering. That's what the grace of God does through, or regardless of our thorn. Our sufficiency is only from God. Remember, our sufficiency is only from God. That's why Paul says that he glories in his thorn. He boasts in the thorn. Now we are in the last point of the sermon. So let me read from the second half of verse 9 again. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am weak, then I am strong. Let me quote one more. Simon Kistermaker said, commented on Christ may rest upon me. He says, Paul literally says that the power of Christ may pitch a tent over me. The picture is that of God descending from heaven and dwelling in the tabernacle among the people of Israel. It is that of Jesus who came down from heaven and dwelled as in a tent among his people. So Paul is rejoicing in his thorn in spite of his affliction. But actually, what Paul is doing here is that he is rejoicing, boasting in the thorn itself. It is because his thorn was to Paul another entrance to the heavenly taste. It is because Christ pitched a tent with Paul through his thorn. So 14 years ago, Paul, by God's grace, was able to witness and taste, experience the heavenly home. And God's grace has never changed. God has always been caring, merciful, and gracious to Paul. So by the same grace of God, again, Paul is able to experience, taste the heavenly blessings through his thorn. That's why, or that's how Paul was able to glory in his thorn, in his many afflictions. So to Paul, his thorn was as much precious as his experience 14 years ago. That's the concluding word. Paul's thorn was as much precious to him as his experience 14 years ago was to him. So dear brothers and sisters, can you understand this? Have you found the secret hidden in your thorn? Have you realized that your thorn is a highway or shortcut to your heavenly blessings? That's my question for you. I want you to ask yourself this week again and again, have I learned the secret hidden in my thorn? Through your thorn, God is inviting you to taste his deep fountain of life, blessings, grace, power. God is inviting you to come and taste his heavenly, glorious blessings. That's why, how Paul was able to say, I boast in my weakness. I boast in my thorn. Let's pray. Oh, Father, please help us to love you more, understand, realize you are our God who loves us dearly. So, Father, whenever we go through our own afflictions or thorn, please let us find the hidden secret of the heavenly blessings in the thorn. Help us to grow in our walk with Christ. Help us to understand how much our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.